Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. All your texts, all your voicemails, we're going to get to all of them. We're going to try and clean up our text and voicemail line on Friday's episode here. So hit us up with any of your thoughts. You guys got questions, you guys got comments for us. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. For those who are a little bit shy or don't have access, if you're international and don't have access to our text and voicemail line, you can always email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at lockedonbulls. Matt, welcome back on this Friday. Excited to hit up our second half of our mailbag. We went a little long yesterday. But yeah, how you doing? Are you excited for your weekend? And yeah, it's going to be really shitty weather here in Chicago. So anybody who's going to go outside the next 3 days, you're going to probably melt. It's going to be like 110 here in Chicago plus humidity. So anybody who's suffered through Chicago humidity knows it is unbearable at this time.
It's bad. It's definitely bad. Although if we actually get a break from the rain, I think I might try and hang up on our rooftop and get a little bit of sun, because I've already kind of gotten some sunburn this summer. A couple of beach days here and there. Spent a week up at the lake with the family, and you gotta get that tan on while you can. It's a very short window for us Chicagoans to not look like pasty white ghosts. Hopefully we'll endure the weather of the weekend. And I don't know about you, man, but you know, obviously excited to always talk Bulls with you and our fellow Bulls fans out there. But you know, getting excited about the back end of the baseball season, and dude, NFL training camp starts next week. I am so behind on my NFL news, and I'm actually going to try and maybe spend some of my weekend catching up on not only what the Bears have been, you know, looking like and what are the storylines coming into training camp, but also, you know, look around to the rest of the division. Packers, you know, we got the big Bears-Packers showdown to start the NFL season. Got to start getting ready for fantasy football. And on that note, we've already gotten several people texting in telling us that they're down for a Locked On Bulls NBA Fantasy League this season. So I think we've also gotten at least a couple of people volunteering their services as commissioner. So keep texting us if you're interested. We'll try and get that organized. And those of you who are volunteering to be commissioner, we will absolutely take you up on that.
That would be awesome. Preferably somebody who's organized and willing to stick this out too through an entire season, because basketball is like a hybrid between doing fantasy baseball and doing fantasy football. You go and have to set your lineup probably, what, 3 times a week, maybe a little bit more often than that, where baseball's every single day. And football, most people monitors almost every day, monitor the waiver wire. But for the most part, you only have to set it once a week. So pretty basic, pretty easy for football. So this would be kind of a hybrid. Basketball is always a fun one, Matt. I've done it here and there. I was in a 4-team league where we play year round. We did NHL, MLB, NBA and NFL, and that got to be ridiculous. But I'm very excited to be able to actually do something with our fans that's fantasy basketball related. And who knows, maybe we can, if there's any sponsors out there listening, maybe we can incentivize our league too this year with some giveaways, maybe some winners of the week, those types of things. But those are all things that we're gonna workshop over the next couple of months and try to get something set up, because that was something I was disappointed we weren't able to do last year. So yes, fantasy football, fantasy basketball on the horizon. And for those like out there that are like me and playing fantasy baseball every day, that'll still be going on all the way through September. So, but I don't want to talk about the baseball season because I'm very, very depressed. White Sox coming out of the break on a 6-game losing streak, and Eloy Jimenez is hurt, and just it's not good news, Matt. It is not Cubbies good news on the South
Cubbies
side.
Cubbies are looking okay. You know, definitely some concern. They've been kind of sluggish throughout large parts of the season. Still there, very much in the picture for winning the division. And we finally got our first Yu Darvish victory at Wrigley, like on Wednesday. The dude's been a Cub for a season and a half, and we got our first Yu Darvish W at Wrigley. My God. About damn time.
See, these two, man.
Come on, man.
Nobody laughing.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Cubs fans couldn't wait long enough for the first win from Yu. He said that he would give the ball to his wife, too, which I thought was kind of funny. A little humor from Yu Darvish. But anyway, this is a basketball podcast. This is a Bulls podcast. So we'll continue on with our basketball thoughts here. You guys can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Matt, let's get to our first voicemail. We've got four on deck, plus all of your text messages as well. Let's get to first-time caller DT from Springfield.
Yeah, this is... DT, I'm calling from Springfield, Illinois, and just listened to your July 10th episode, and you guys got in a really, really cool debate about direction of the Bulls and Russell Westbrook. And I had a thought, though, something that was kind of said about how we don't want to be a fourth or fifth or sixth seed, and you know, we want to go straight to championships. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, where's the thought at actually getting to the playoffs? I mean, we're not there yet. We do have some really, really good young talent. But just kind of looking at championship teams and the history of it, nobody wins with young talent. You have to have players that have either developed over the years and have played together. You know, looking at the Golden State Warriors and how they drafted Draymond, Clay, and Steph, and they got bumped out of the playoffs several years before they actually got to the finals. Looking at the LeBron teams, and he never has any young players that actually get minutes. You know, he's always winning with veterans. The Lakers they're putting together right now is full of veteran players and other than maybe Kyle Kuzma, and not saying that they're going to win the championship, but you have to have veteran players that have been there and actually know how to win. So I guess my question is, and trying to figure out what your thoughts are, why are we having an issue with being a mediocre team if we're not even in the playoffs yet? I feel like we need to actually get there and actually learn how to win. We need to actually win games through the regular season, and then maybe get to an eighth or ninth seed and then see how things kind of play out. I feel like, you know, I've been watching the NBA for a very long time. I've been a Bulls fan since 89. And I just feel like we need to actually get there and get some maybe playoff wins under our belt, or at least, you know, I have no problem with you know, where we're at right now and actually building with the team. And actually just working to get there first, and just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts were on that. Cause like I said, I don't understand what the complaint is about being, you know, a fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth seed. I mean, that shows progress to me. I feel like we just need to get there first. And then, you know, having some, you know, learning how to win. And
thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So everybody seems to really like our conversation from last week, Matt, about Russell Westbrook both being on different sides. And I think it brought up the conversation about playoffs and kind of the next step in this rebuild, right? We were shitty for 2 years and didn't end up with the ping pong balls landing our way. We ended up with three seventh overall picks 3 years in a row to start this rebuild off. But still, Carter and Markkanen still really, really good picks at seven. Steps. I think this is what DT is kind of trying to bring up here, is what's that next step, and fans should be all right with the next step being our goal being in short term making the playoffs and having some playoff experience for these younger guys, which I definitely agree with him here. The one thing I don't agree with him on is the fact that saying that like a lot of other teams don't have younger players around them when they win. Like Kyrie Irving was really young. What was he, 24, 25 when the Cavs kept going to the playoffs, and eventually they ended up winning the championship, but still he was fairly young. And even on those Miami teams, Mario Chalmers was really young. Norris Cole was part of that team too. He was a rookie. I mean, the first three years of the league.
Dude, Chalmers and Norris Cole weren't the reason that they were going to the finals and winning two titles.
Totally. But still, they had younger players that played pretty vital roles for those teams. I'm not saying that they were the make or break of any of those teams, but there were younger guys on those LeBron-led squads that had crucial parts to those teams. Like Mario Chalmers was a baller when LeBron was there in Miami and they were doing well. So I guess it isn't a complete and total case of that. But
never heard still, Mario Chalmers called a baller before, but okay.
Mario Chalmers was good in Miami, man.
Yeah, he was a player. I wouldn't say he was good.
Mario Chalmers was good, man. But what do you think about this? Like next step being playoffs and being okay with not having to rush things.
Right. Let's not talk about Mario Chalmers extensively. What I think DT is saying, and I think it's where the divide is in the fan base right now between optimists and pessimists, is that like, okay, well, yeah, before you talk about being a fourth or fifth seed and some Bulls fans roll their eyes and say, well, is that all we are? Is that all we're going to be? First step is making the playoffs is more likely a seventh or an eighth seed, which is what people are hoping the Bulls might be able to achieve this season, which I still think would take a lot of luck and a lot of growth from this young roster. For the most part, he's true that young teams whose best players are also very young tend not to win and go deep in the playoffs. But I think with the Bulls and their fan base, it's like, all right, well, is your ultimate goal and is your ceiling capped at being a fourth or a fifth seed? And then if that's the way you feel, then who cares if the middle step between rebuilding and getting to your full potential is becoming a playoff team this year as a seventh seed or an eighth seed? And that's where I think there's a divide in the fan base. Some are looking at it more optimistically and saying, if LaVine develops, if Markkanen and Wendell develop and become these star players that we hope they can be, then the ceiling for this team is high, and they might actually grow into a team that can contend in the Eastern Conference for a span of years where they keep this roster and this group together. Others would say, even if these players as individuals all reach their potential, this is capped out as a fifth or sixth seed team in the East. So I think that's kind of the difference. That's kind of the quandary we're in right now. And to me, there is a difference between talking about a team whose ceiling is capped at being a fourth or fifth seed, whose biggest pieces are aging overpaid players, versus maybe feeling only so optimistic as to say the Bulls could become with this roster a fourth seed maybe, but it's right now looking at it with a roster that is still very young. They've added some veteran pieces, but the Bulls were the youngest team in the league last year. So I think that's the difference. And that's where maybe some of the optimists say, well, you know, one step at a time, make the playoffs as a seventh or eighth seed, then make the playoffs as a fourth or fifth seed, and you'll see how much this team can grow. Whereas the reason they traded Jimmy is because their roster of Jimmy, who was still in his prime but about to enter the back end of his prime, and an old as F Wade and an old as F Rondo capped out at an eighth seed. So there's the difference. Are you trending up with a young team, or are you trending nowhere with an old team?
I think the only thing that makes me kind of nervous about the young players and kind of waiting around, obviously besides the health, like that's a huge thing with this Bulls team. We've talked about it a bunch. staying healthy is first and foremost the most important thing. But I think, too, it's a little bit, I have a little bit of concern, and maybe this is just because this is with every fan base and every player that people hope that they turn into stars at some point. Guys that, you know, teams that have been waiting around for guys to turn into stars. Look at Minnesota, how long that they've waited for Andrew Wiggins to turn into the guy he was supposed to be. And they're probably going to wait forever until he retires. He won't ever be that player that they thought he was going to be. But that, I guess I have a little bit of concern there is like, what happens if these guys don't turn out to be what they should be or what we're hoping them to be? Maybe that's more of a pessimistic look at, as a Bulls fan than it is an optimist look, but I'm hoping that these guys turn out, but I just have this weird feeling in the back of my mind and just keep asking myself this question. I know I should block it out is what happens if this doesn't work? Like what happens if these guys are just good players? They're good guys. They fit and they'll be longtime players in the NBA 10 year plus, but they're never going to be a superstar. They're never going to be an all-star type of player. Where does that kind of put this Bulls team in terms of their rebuild? Feel like you just kind of go down the same path as mediocrity where we were just a few years ago. And maybe that same play is trading for a Russell Westbrook or somebody along those lines, like you're capping your team at a fourth or a fifth seed ultimately. So I feel like there's a few paths, there's a lot more paths back to mediocrity than there is back to actually being a serious contender for the East. And then beyond that, being a contender for the finals.
Yes, 100%. And that's the toss up. That's the what if. That's the, you know, wait and see with this young group that they have assembled. And I think it's perfectly fair to be skeptical that their ceiling can be as good as perennial contender. If LaVine and Markkanen both reach the heights of what they can be and they keep that duo together and they keep Wendell as a foundational piece and a defensive stopper who hopefully develops some of his offensive game and all these things, and they all reach their ceilings, it is very possible that collectively that ceiling as a team is not good enough to be a team that's trying to get to the finals every year. It is very possible. But the other factor is that we don't know. The NBA is so wide open right now, and I think is going to be wide open for years to come. The LeBron generation is aging out of the league, and yeah, there are young stars everywhere, but none of the young stars in the teams that they're on right now have a gigantic upper hand compared to the rest of the field. We're just now exiting a damn near decade where the answer was LeBron's team in the East and the Warriors. Right? Like that era is coming to an end. And so this young team that the Bulls have right now are not going to reach their ceiling for another 4 or 5 years at least. And I think that's the part where some Bulls fans are impatient to say, oh my God, look at this team. Look at these players. Look at the evidence on the court. Look at what we're seeing. There's no way that this team is actually going to contend. They're capping out at a 4 seed max. And it's fair to look at what you see right now and come to that conclusion. But you have to remind yourself that big picture. Markkanen just turned 22. Wendell is barely 20. Kobe White's 19. LaVine of the core pieces is the elder statesman who's coming into his 6th season and is still what? Like 24 years old. It's going to be a minute before these pieces and the roster as a whole reach their ceiling. And at that time, who the hell knows which teams in the NBA are going to be the superpowers?
Just know, no matter whatever happens,
Gar is absolutely safe, yes.
All right, somebody's got to take that soundboard away from you.
Oh my God. Those are things that were said by Vice President of Basketball Operations for our beloved Chicago Bulls. So yeah, that's it's going to be interesting. I'm cool with being patient. I want there always to be a plan and there always to be a couple steps ahead of that plan. For a while, I felt like it was things got kind of blurry, especially when they traded for Otto Porter Jr. I'm just hoping that we stay on an actual plan and there actually is a plan beyond just year to year, which seems like that has been the Bulls' motto over the last 5 years. It's like, all right, we're just going to plan for this year. We'll figure it the fuck out next offseason, figure out kind of where we're going.
In their defense, we have seen in the moves that they've made over the last 12 months or so, that for the first time, they look like the plan is beyond today. We decided to sign Dwayne Wade. Today, we decided to sign Jabari Parker. And tomorrow, we'll figure out what the fuck to do with that decision. The signings that they've made this offseason, the way that they're starting to build this roster, the coaching hires they made to support Jim Boylan, all and the promotions they've made within the organization that maybe are the reason that some of these moves have started to look more logical. There is, as you said, like, you're okay with being patient. You want there to be several steps that they're playing. You know, play 4D chess, play the long game. That's the, what most people among the fan base believe that they are incapable of doing compared to some of their colleagues. You look at the moves recently, and it could just be a little blip, and then they go back to doing stupid shit. But right now, at least, there is this small trend of them making logical decisions.
Agreed. Totally agree with you.
They don't pay players to play defense.
Agreed with you too, Jabari Parker. All right, let's get to our next voicemail.
Hey, you guys. This is Ryan Avisi, and I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. So what's up, you guys? Of course, go Bulls. I'm a very, very, very big Bulls fan. I know it's been kind of hard since we've been taking it in the ass for the past couple of years, ever since Jimmy was gone. Okay, but so I just want to comment on this, right? So basically, you might think I'm crazy. A lot of Bulls fans, even a lot of my friends, you know, I'm in Charlotte, of course, so the Hornets, you know, they can't make fun of me. You know, none of my friends can make fun of me. But they do think I'm crazy when I say this. So if you could tell me right now, and I'm being 100% serious, I'm not trying to be a jackass and act cool. No, I'm serious. If you said, yo, we'll give you Kevin Durant, I don't want him. You said, yo, you can have LeBron. I don't want him. Russell Westbrook, I mean, now that he already joined, where did he just go? I can't even remember where he went, but I know he left. Like, he went to the Rockets. I mean, I don't want any of those players. I want...
Hold on, Matt. I got to pause this voice for a minute. I don't know where he's going with this, but you don't want Kevin Durant? No Bulls fan should ever say that. Ever. 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 You don't want Kevin Durant. Come on now. Let's be serious here.
I mean, let him finish.
All players that are young, because, yeah, we have some veterans, and that's what we need. But the reason that we have veterans, we don't have a whole team full of veterans. I mean, obviously, we have them to teach the rookies and to teach our younger players like Kobe, you know, even LaVine in a way. I mean, he doesn't need much help, but, you know, like Wendell, Laurie, obviously, that's why we have Thaddeus Young and Thomas and the guy from the Knicks or whatever, the big dude. Look, I don't want a guy like KD. I don't want a guy like LeBron. I don't want him at their age. I want to start young. If you said, yo, you can offer, you know, KD $25 million or $30 million a year for the next 5 years, 4 years guaranteed, 6 year player contract. No, I don't want that. You know, I want a guy who is young, who's LaVine's age, who's just everybody in our starting lineup except for Otto. He just turned what, 26? That's what I want. People think I'm crazy, but look, I heard one of you guys talking about, you know, if we had the chance at scooping Russell Westbrook, why not get Russell Westbrook? Look, there's no point in my opinion, because look, put that into perspective. So you have Russell Westbrook, Zach LaVine, the potential starting lineup, if we were to, you know, boot Chris Dunn and Kobe out of the starting lineup because we got Russell. So we'd have Russell, then we would have Zach, and then, you know, we'd probably have Otto and then Laurie and, I don't know, I guess Wendell. So does that sound like a team who can contend with the Bucks? Does that sound like a team who can beat even Golden State? Now, does that? I don't think so. I don't think that's a possibility, in my opinion. I don't think so. We're too young. We still need more experience. We still need the vets to teach us, you know, to teach the rookies how to get better, how to become a championship team. You know, that's just my thoughts. I'm not trying to keep you guys there forever.
All right. So what it sounds like is Ryan's more on the idea of bringing young players and having young players than star players on his team. I don't know, Matt. Can you find any logical reason here?
Of course I can find the logic to it. And it goes back to what I was just talking about. When this Bulls roster that we have right now reaches their prime 6 years from now, LeBron, KD, Russ, those players, they're going to be aged out. The league's going to be up for grabs. And if acquiring one of those players, in your opinion, which is this caller's opinion, and I probably am of the same opinion, does not get you a title, does not put you in realistic contention for a title, why mortgage your future for a present that's maybe a little bit more exciting, but still isn't getting you where you ultimately want to be? The Bulls have several interesting young pieces of talent on this roster. And again, it goes back to whether or not they reach their ceilings and what those ceilings are. But I can at least understand where he's coming from in that if you want to really see where LaVine can go, where Markkanen can go, people always talk about the next Dirk. If Markkanen becomes the next Dirk, then he is good enough to build a championship contending team around. So if that's the case, I can understand why you wouldn't want players who are aging out of their prime if it's not going to get you a title anyway.
You get it from the perspective of like not wanting Kevin Durant now after he tore his Achilles tendon. Totally get that. But before that, like if we're talking about Kevin Durant wanting to come to the Bulls, like come on now. Like let's be honest here. You would take Kevin Durant in a heartbeat. In a freaking heartbeat. I get it about Russ. Russ is a little bit different.
Of course. I was just arguing. I was just trying to make clearer, I think, the argument that he was making, which is youth versus stars that are in the back end of their prime right now.
This is all I have to say for people who don't want Kevin Durant.
See, you don't know basketball. You just got caught. Stop. You just got caught as a fish.
Stop. What did I tell you? One Stephen A. clip a week. You're already at like two or three. And it's the end of the week.
Weed.
Oh, he's going to throw that one in there.
I'm seriously going to confiscate that thing.
All right, let's get to our next voicemail, man. I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. I was the one who was defending Russell Westbrook too, by the way. Like I wanted him for the Bulls, but we're past that now. So I appreciate everybody that's enjoyed that conversation though. It seems like it sparked a lot of debate. So that's very, very cool. Glad that you guys are dropping your opinions as well. You can do that at 331-979-1369. Hold on, we have to do a Postmates read. So let me get that really quick and do that.
Cool.
Before we get to our next voicemail, want to remind you guys, Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code Locked On. You'll get $100 in delivery fees right to your account. This is huge. If you live in the city of Chicago, if you live in any major city, it can be pretty annoying to go out and have to get delivered or have to go out and get food. Like you're going to have to walk several blocks. Maybe you're just lazy. You just want to leave your house. You don't have to do that. Maybe you don't want to go grocery shopping. Postmates will do that for you. Postmates is crazy, man. You can get stuff delivered from electronic stores. You can get a charging cord delivered to your house. You can get food. You can get groceries, whatever it is. Postmates is going to offer Locked On listeners $100 in delivery credit when you sign up using the code Locked On. Download the Postmates app today and use the code Locked On. I know I will be doing that immediately and taking advantage of the $100 in free delivery credit because delivery can be sort of expensive, especially if you live in a major city. Everybody that lives in Chicago here knows exactly what I'm talking about. So with that, let's get to our next voicemail, Matt.
What's up, man? This is North from Chicago, Southside, man. I'm a big fan of y'all, man. I'm a big fan of the Bulls. First time calling. Been listening to y'all for a couple of years, though. But I got one question. What y'all think about Thaddeus Young playing the backup small forward and then Cornette playing a power forward, and then Daniel Gafford playing the center, at all at the backup lineup for the front court. All right, let me know what you guys think. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. I actually don't think this is a bad idea. Just one thing that I would flip. Instead of Cornette playing the four, I think Daniel Gafford could play the four and Luke Cornette could play the five. Like, go back and look at Daniel Gafford's listing in the draft combine. He was actually listed as a power forward, or more likely a forward than anything else. He's not listed as a center. So I think Daniel Gafford, you could play in spots at the four. If you wanted to go a little bit bigger, I could see this off the bench with Thaddeus Young playing the three. You have Daniel Gafford at the four and Luke Cornette at the five. I mean, hell, you don't really have much other, you don't really have any other options, especially if guys like Otto Porter Jr. or Chandler Hutchison or Denzel Valentine miss any time at all next year. You're going to need somebody to fill in that gap at the three. So Thaddeus Young played the three too. I think 40% of his minutes with Indiana last year. So he can switch between the three and the four. So I don't hate this idea.
And Cornette, for a guy who's, you know, just showed some small glimpses in a couple of patchy years with the Knicks. Everybody, of course, knows him as a stretch, you know, front court guy who can drill some threes, but he's also an underrated rim protector and shot blocker. And, you know, the stats back that up. So I think you can find some times where you're playing Cornette at the five and he can be a decent rim protector. And then also, I mean, if you're talking about playing Gafford and Cornette on the court together at the same time, whereas Gafford is strictly a rim running big on the offensive end and has, you know, no game outside of the paint, offensively, at least not yet in his bag of skills, Cornette can draw your opponent's bigs away from the rim, which is, you know, one of the things that NBA teams are trying to do a lot of these days. You know, make big guards out at the perimeter because Cornette is that 3-point threat. So, I mean, I think just based on projecting what pieces the Bulls have to work with, absolutely, you can see some times where, you know, maybe not only are they flirting with Gafford getting minutes at the four instead of the five, but definitely playing Cornette at the five because he can block shots and he can stretch the opponent's defense.
Agreed. Shoot that three too. So I'm kind of excited to watch Luke Cornette play and in more of a backup role too and get some more minutes. Suppose what he was doing with the Knicks, like the Knicks were like a free for all last year. So I'm kind of excited to see what he can do. And if he turns out to be anything at all, I think that's a good scoop by the Bulls, especially the contract he's on. It's not a bad contract at all. I wish we just didn't have Felicio's contract. God, they still have this year and next year to pay that guy. So hanging out on the roster still, but I don't hate this idea. I think playing in a lineup where you could have a massive second unit type of lineup going. I mean, you could play essentially Chris Dunn, Kobe White, Thaddeus Young, Daniel Gafford, and Luke Cornette. You have two dudes as your guards in your backcourt at 6'6". You have Thaddeus Young at 6'8". You have Daniel Gafford at nearly 7 feet, and you have Luke Cornette at 7'1". That is a massive and long lineup off your bench. So don't hate the idea.
Almost as big as the Sixers' death lineup that they can trot out there now with their new addition of Al Horford.
Seriously. And speaking of that, real quick, we didn't touch on Ben Simmons getting that massive contract. Obviously, the 76ers had to do this, but dude better figure out how to shoot threes. Otherwise, that Philly team is going to be screwed in the playoffs like they saw last year. So maybe Ben Simmons is going to actually learn how to take threes this year, maybe actually take the chance on shooting threes as opposed to just shooting them in warmups and practice.
We have no evidence to believe that he's all of a sudden going to learn how to be a 3-point shooter. Everybody is in love with the triple doubles and the point forward role that he is kind of becoming, like the new LeBron of the league. And I still think he's one of the most overrated players that we've seen in the last several seasons. I mean, who knows? If he learns how to shoot, then he'll be a very talented player that has the whole package. But right now, I mean, I think he's so overrated, and he's caved in a lot of their big playoff games. Jimmy was their closer and they lost Jimmy. I'm taking Milwaukee over Philly as my first, you know, favorite starting the season to come out of the East.
And it's kind of strange because otherwise, who do they defer to? Like, is Joel Embiid? Like, it's weird to talk about
Embiid can't be your closer.
Closer.
Embiid can't be your closer.
So that it's going to be a weird dynamic for the 76ers. And they'll have Tobias Harris too. Maybe he'll step up and all of a sudden become their closer.
Speaking of ridiculously overpaid contracts, the Sixers now have two of them.
Wild. Absolutely
and they,
wild.
And they gave Al Horford, aging Al Horford, a contract worth over $100 million.
They're all in.
They are all in, and I think they're going to come up short.
Let's get to our last voicemail, and then we'll get to some text before we get out of here for the weekend. Again, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369.
Matt, Jordan, what's going on, fellas? It's Nicholas, Chicago, regular caller. I usually don't call it unless it's something worthy, you know. Listen to the past few episodes, and it's been about, you know, the summer and our moves, what we've done, what we haven't done, what we should have done, you know, typical stuff that we go through every year. The Russell Westbrook thing, I know we're over that. I just listened to a recent episode, Friday's episode. Just want to touch on it real quick. I love Russell Westbrook. He's got Michael Jordan's hunger. And what I mean by that, only a few have that hunger to go get it by any means. Like, you can't stop that, man. There's no defensive strategy to stop Russell Westbrook. It's impossible. He stops himself. He showed it this year against Portland. The reason why Portland won is because Russell Westbrook shut himself down. But we didn't need him on this team, and we don't need a superstar on this team. And I don't want to get killed for that by some Bulls fans that think we need a superstar right now. Hear me out. LeBron James, AD, maybe not AD, but LeBron and all the top superstars right now are either headed out of the league or they're not leaving their team. We're not going to get a superstar. So as LeBron leaves the league in the next few years, the NBA is going to do what it's doing now, and that's evening out the landscape. You give us 3, 4, maybe 5 years of just true development. Remember, these kids are only 19, 20. Lauri Markkanen just turned 21 or 22 or something like that. Give us 5 years to when we're actually, like, got talent, some raw talent. Nobody in the league is going to be able to stop the Chicago Bulls. Really look at the landscape of all the teams right now. We got the youngest, the most dominant team. You can say Atlanta, but the Bulls show more promise. And that's not just me being biased, just holding two rosters up to each other and compare and contrast. So my theory is we don't need a superstar right now. We don't even need a superstar in 2021. Kawhi, Giannis, we don't want them. We don't need them. Because I believe if we keep just developing the talent that we have, we're going to be solid. I have no worries about it. So I just wish that some fans just saw it from my perspective of not wanting to get a big free agent right now, because it's not going to do us any justice right now. We're not going to get anywhere but the second round of the playoffs. So we might as well just save the money and just pour it into the guys that we have now. Max out Lauri Markkanen, max out Wendell. Just get some true dogs under our belts. And who knows, maybe boy ball is a new generation of the NBA that the NBA isn't ready for. And we just become dominant. It's time to look at things in a more better perspective than just the typical, oh, here we go again, eye roll Bulls kind of way. Hope all is well with everybody.
All right, appreciate the call, Nicholas. Kind of on the same token as what you were saying about Russell Westbrook and our
previous caller who said, I don't want KD. I don't want LeBron. I don't want Russell Westbrook. I get the logic to it. And part of me kind of in a weird way agrees with it. And he, you know, Nicholas brought up what I brought up earlier, which is the landscape of the NBA now. And what the landscape of the NBA is going to look like 4 or 5 years from now, and how wide open it could be. And again, it all goes back to the players we have right now reaching their ceiling and how high those ceilings are. And it's just a matter of where you are on that spectrum of they can be really good. These young kids we have right now could be stars. They could be the next great stars of the league. We just got to keep them around and develop them. And then there are those who think, man, even if these players we have right now reach their potential, we're capped out at a mid-seed. It's just a matter of what you think about that right now and fast-forwarding and looking 4 or 5 years down the line to see not only what the Bulls look like, but what the league looks like.
Here's what I can't wrap my brain around, and maybe you can help me out with this, or maybe any of our texters or callers can help me out with this. most Bulls fans understand what step one and step two were of this rebuild, right? Acquire assets, hit the reset button, acquire assets, find some young players that we can have some hope in, right? To try to get to that all-star level, to be our guys and develop within. Totally on board with that. Get that. Was on board with it there. But I feel like now we've all of a sudden skipped step three and four, and we're already looking at step five, which is being a potential contender in the East 5 years down, 6 years down the road, when some of these guys are in their primes, like Markkanen, like Kobe White, like Wendell Carter Jr. What we're missing here is that in between. How do you get to that point? Like, how do you get these guys to develop that to that point? What, I guess this is where I would start. I'm all over the place right now, but how do guys develop in the NBA, and how do they become the most successful? Is it playing with other guys that are just as good, if not better, at all-star levels? Is that how younger players develop and get better? Is it the coaching staff that's going to help them get better? Is it winning games that's going to get better? Like, what's the formula to get these guys, if you don't want a star on this team, or you don't want to chase these stars and feel like you're going to cap out at the fourth or the fifth seed? How do you develop the stars that you are, the guys that you already have? Because look at what losing did. Like, look at what losing did last year to this young team. Man, it nearly tore the entire team apart. We were talking about a player mutiny. A player mutiny. We're talking about guys getting mad at each other, guys getting mad at the coaching staff, guys getting sick of losing games. Like, losing games is a surefire way to stunt growth and stunt development. Look it up in Minnesota. Minnesota's wasting the talent of Karl Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins didn't develop into what he was supposed to be. And they tried to build it around young guys. Same thing with Zach LaVine when he was up there. They didn't really have another star to add to that roster to really help that development. I mean, you could play Jimmy Butler for 1 year, but sure, that didn't really do all that much. So I guess my question for you, Matt, is how do you develop and how do you get those young players to develop if you don't have all-star level players playing around them?
I don't know. I'm not a fucking scientist. What's the formula? I don't know. Stay healthy. Have a coach and a coaching staff that knows how to maximize your strengths and mask and minimize your weaknesses, both as individual players and as a cohesive unit, and hope that things start to gel. I mean, there's no one specific correct way to do this. You just have to hope for health and also put the right people in place on the court and on the sideline coaching them. Maybe that sounds like I'm putting it simply, but there's no specific fancy secret formula to say how do you maximize their development. You got to have the right pieces in place, and some of it's luck. Some of it is the players putting the onus on themselves, putting the work in to develop their game, work on their weaknesses in the offseason. We keep talking about LaVine trying to become a better defensive player, minimizing the mistakes, cutting down the turnovers, players who aren't great shooters working on that aspect of their game, becoming, you know, more versatile players on the offensive end. Whatever you want to talk about, it's everyone who has been assembled doing their job to the utmost, staying healthy, buying in, and buying into hopefully the correct plans that are executed by the coaching staff. Will all of that coalesce and come together for the Bulls this season and make them a watchable team that fights for a playoff spot? Who the hell knows? Sure would be nice, but who the hell knows?
So I'm trying to think of some other teams of the recent history that have haven't had players to start that were like immediately we knew that they were going to be all-stars in this league for a long time. Like Anthony Davis at number one, we knew he was going to be an all-star in this league. We knew he was going to be a generational type of talent. Those type of guys, you know what you're getting when you draft those guys. I'm looking for other players that have developed into stars, maybe like a Kemba Walker, like CJ McCollum
and Jimmy Butler.
CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, those two guys together, how they developed in Portland. How did that happen? Like, because they didn't have star players around them. Even go look at Denver recently, like Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Like, those guys are, like, Nikola Jokic, yes, all-star. But the other guys, other pieces around him, borderline all-stars, but really good players. Like, how did those guys get to that point without having stars around them?
Jamal Murray was a lottery pick.
True, true. But still, like, not being surefire bet that, like, okay, this dude's going to be a multi-time all-star. He's going to be a dude that's going to be around for 10 years and be talked about as one of the top 25, maybe top 30 best players in the league. That's where I don't know. Are you going to trust Jim Boylan to be able to develop these guys?
That's the million dollar question. That's the million dollar question. I think a lot of the fan base is very skeptical that Boylan's the right guy to do it. We certainly keep hearing from Paxton that Paxton believes that Boylan's the right guy to do it. Boylan's recent interview on XM Sirius NBA Radio, where he was talking about, you know, call it old school, call it whatever the hell you want. I don't know when it became like a taboo thing to be a coach who's demanding and asks a lot of his players and pushes his young players at this level, because at some point we got away from that. And a lot of these kids, you know, AAU ball recruited, one and done college kids, you know, they're gifted everything. They feel like everything's laid out for them. And sometimes you gotta knock them down a peg or two. And that's the strategy that Boylan has taken. Will it work or will it not? We're going to find out.
I guess I'm just unsatisfied. I'm like unsatisfied because I guess I don't know. And I guess most people don't know like how these guys develop. And maybe that's something I got to do a little bit more research and see like what was going on with some of those players that didn't come into the league and didn't have all-star projections right away. Because I feel like we do have two or three of those guys. Like, I don't think Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen are being talked in circles nationally around the NBA. Like, locally, yes, here we have a ton of faith in those guys. But like nationally, they're not being talked about as guys that are going to be potential all-stars, you know, future down the line, 3-4 years from now, being multi-time all-stars. So how did teams like Portland get to that point? How did teams like Denver get to that point? Was it coaching? Because I don't know if I would point to coaching in Denver with like guys like Mike Malone, who I think is kind of a Jim Boylan-esque type of coach, the way he talks and the way he speaks, but he still was able to get that team to be the number one team in the West. So how do those players develop? Is it more on them? Is it the coaching staff that they have around him? Is it putting other really solid players around them that can kind of maximize those strengths like you were talking about? So that's what I'm very curious about and how these guys are going to develop going forward. But I think if there's anything I can point to, one major thing that I can point to, it starts with winning basketball games, right? That builds confidence, that gets the energy up with all of these guys. And, you know, just looking back at last season, how terrible, like during that 10-game losing streak in January, these guys were fucking miserable, and nobody was playing well. Like, everybody seemed to be kind of divided. So maybe it starts with just actually being able to consistently win basketball games. It's easier said than done, but I think it starts with there. If I had to point to one thing, is starting to win. I think that's where you can start to form some chemistry with these guys and can be a little bit better. So maybe I don't just have a clear answer. Nobody really does until we see maybe 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line. I'm cool with being patient too with Nicholas. I hear what he's saying and I'm totally fine. I just, like I said before earlier in this episode, and I said yesterday, I want them to have a clear and concise path and an actual plan on how you're going to develop these guys. And I think they did. They started this offseason by signing other really good veteran role players that are going to have some impact and be able to heighten those strengths like Thomas Adoransky and Thaddeus Young.
And that's why, you know, maybe they're underwhelming, maybe they're not sexy signings, but I am in the camp of the fact that they actually made sense and were good signings because they are there to support and maximize the potential and development of the guys who matter. Not to say that they don't, that, you know, guys like Thad Young and Satoransky don't matter, but the fact that Satoransky, as your starting point guard, is a high efficiency, low usage guy who can make LaVine and Markkanen and Otto getting his open shots the focus. And Thad Young being a solid two-way player and a solid veteran who can come in, give you good minutes, but not pull any focus. Those are the things, those are the kind of signings that can be one of many steps towards helping these young players develop and maximize their potential. Make them the focus, give them a support system. And those two things, coupled with hopefully a little bit more smarts on the bench and Chris Fleming and Roy Rogers helping out Jim Boylan in new and creative ways, working individually one-on-one with some of these players, you know, how do players develop? You know, that's the question that you're at. Well, Roy Rogers gets a lot of credit for Clint Capela turning into the star caliber player he is. Can we see Clint Capela like development and strides made from not only Wendell Carter, but Daniel Gafford? Some improvements on the defensive end from Lauri Markkanen, who could certainly benefit from adding to his game at that end of the court. So, like, you know, those are the little things that the Bulls have managed to do and put in place that actually gives some middling level of optimism that maybe they are finally committed to actually developing young players instead of just making off the cuff whim decisions like signing Wade and Jabari. Those are the things that are underwhelming, yes, not super exciting, yes, but that might actually be centered around developing the young talent that they have acquired. And to me, that is it. That is the focus of all of this. And is Boylan the right guy to lead the whole march this season? Like you said, a lot of it will come down to, do they start this season being a competitive team that's healthy and winning some games? And then they'll start to double down and really buy in more and understand that Boylan just is, you know, trying to do right by him and prove that he cares about these kids and teaching them how to win. We could see some nice things, or it could all blow up in our faces.
I'm hoping it's the former, not the latter. If I'm being completely honest here, I think most people think that too as well. Couple of texts here, Matt, before we get out of here. This is an interesting one, and you know, it being a little over 2 years since we made the Jimmy Butler trade. 870. So now that Jimmy Butler has signed his contract, looking back at it, would you guys have preferred to keep Jimmy and potentially signed or traded for another star and built the team that way as opposed to do what they did 2 summers ago? You guys glad that the Bulls did what they did, and now we have a legit young core that can maybe take us to the next level. Looking at it now, we could have had another one of the teams that has a star duo going into next season, which I think is pretty fair to say, right? Like, if the Bulls didn't make these deals and sign Jimmy to a max deal, I feel like that they could have made another move for another star, not knowing really who that was. But over a 2 year time, I feel like there would have been a possibility where they could have traded for another star, and it would have been Jimmy and somebody else here. It probably wasn't going to be like a superstar type of guy, but it would have been another Jimmy Butler level player. Are you still happy, Matt? Because I know both of you and I were both on board with hitting the reset button 2 years ago and pretty happy that they did it because you didn't think we were going to win a championship with Jimmy Butler. Are you still happy 2 years from now, 2 years removed from that trade?
I am. For a multitude of reasons. If they had decided to properly build around Jimmy 3 years ago instead of signing Wade and Rondo, I could have been talked into that being the right path. And like you said, you know, add the right supporting characters or another star to complement Jimmy and see where it goes. And maybe you're not winning title, but you're making deep playoff runs. That's cool. But to me, I was fine with it because I did not think that they could win a title with Jimmy as their best player. Fast forwarding now and seeing just how much of a headache Jimmy is wherever he goes and the explosion of his ego and the max contract that the Bulls would have had to sign. You know, the Heat got him on a discount and in a shorter deal. If he stayed in Chicago, he was signing that designated player exception supermax. And you're talking about paying Jimmy like $200 million. And I was always in the camp saying, hell no, Jimmy ain't worth that. And between that, his insanely exploded ego, and the fact that I really, really, really want to believe in LaVine and Markkanen and this baby Bulls core, and knowing where the league is now, and knowing that if they had kept Jimmy with how good LeBron was in the East and how good the Warriors were in the West, keeping Jimmy wasn't going to get anything done. I'm glad they started over when they did.
And don't forget, too,
kept our flexibility long term, which was also important to us.
Love that flexibility.
You know it. Gar loves his flexibility. So, yeah, I'm with you too. I'm still happy that they made the move. Like, I love Jimmy Butler, and if they would have signed him to that contract and gave him the max, he would have been loved forever here in the city. And I would have probably been on board. I would have loved Jimmy too. I don't know if his ego would have went the same way, and it would have been weird to see like Dwayne Wade and Rondo come back for a second season, run the three alphas back for a second season. That seems like it was just a ticking time bomb ready to just absolutely explode in the Bulls' faces. So I'm kind of glad that they didn't do that and they ran that back for a second year. But nonetheless, I'm still happy with the young core that the Bulls have built here and just staying on a plan and a path and knowing exactly what you want to do, not just a year from now, but a couple years from now and seeing where this thing is going to go. Last text and we will get out of here, Matt. 815. With it basically being admitted that we will not be a title contender, maybe not even a playoff contender for the next two seasons, why haven't the Bulls ever taken on a large contract in exchange for draft compensation? My guess as to why they haven't is because it would be necessary for a long-term plan that they can carry through, and we seem to change courses every single year. The Clippers were pretty good about this and flipped it into Paul George eventually. If we're looking to be players in 2021, we need to have all the assets we can and be prepared because, as we all know, hope and luck aren't a plan. I'll tell you straight up why I think that they don't do this is because Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't like to spend money, waste money, when the team isn't that good. I really genuinely feel like they had to pry Jerry Reinsdorf to agree for them to trade Nico Mirotic. And had that fight not happened in October, I don't think we see them take on Omer Asik's contract just for a first round pick. And some of those other deals that they had to make and basically wasted money. Who else did they get back? Didn't they get like Jose Calderon? And there's another player in that deal too, like random three or four players in that deal where they took all this money on for Nico in order to just get that first round pick, which turned into Chandler Hutchison. But had that fight not happened, I don't know if they would have made that move and gotten a first round pick for Nico or taken on bad money. But to me, I think it's Jerry Reinsdorf just doesn't want to waste money.
Certainly. I mean, they're not going to take on bad contracts to like go into the luxury tax. That makes zero sense.
Right.
When you have seasons like, you know, last season or the season before where the Bulls are struggling to reach the cap floor, then yeah, why not do that? And that certainly seemed like something that they could have done and maybe haven't done as much of, like, you know, other rebuilding teams. Atlanta has certainly seized their opportunities to do that kind of stuff and add some draft capital to their rebuild. And I think it's a fair question to wonder why the Bulls aren't doing more of it. They didn't exactly do that with Otto because like they took on a bad contract that the Washington didn't want, but the Bulls wanted the player that was attached to that contract. Yes, the Bulls maybe could use that, that option as far as ways to consume cap space more frequently and more efficiently than they have in recent years. But now, you know, as we sit here today, you know, July 19th, the Bulls with Cornett signing and with Shaq Harrison coming back, and, you know, this is a full roster. This is actually one over a full roster until they waive Blakeney or trade Chris Dunn. That's pretty much up against the cap. So did they miss opportunities in the past couple of seasons to start the rebuild to do that? Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. But right now, it's kind of no longer an option.
Agreed. And I think this texter is maybe talking about like pre all of these offseason signings, like over the last 2 years, why didn't they do more of that? Like Cleveland did. Look at how many first round picks Cleveland ended up with, or like second round picks or, you know, future first round picks. They ended up with a lot and they took on some bad contracts too in order to get those. So to me, we wondered about this too over the last 2 years when they're rebuilding. We always asked, like, why don't they just take on the dead money for a contract that's going to expire after next year or a contract that's going to expire at the end of the year and they're going to attach a late first round pick or even a second round pick or multiple second round picks just to take on that bad money for whatever it is, 6 months. Bulls decided not to do that. And I think it's not on the front office. I think it's more on ownership and Jerry Reinsdorf just not wanting to spend money on wasted talent. Basically, yes, it would be good for the Bulls in the long run, but I feel like he sees it in a different way. He sees it as like, I'm not going to spend money on a team that's not going to win, especially to get a future first round pick asset, which I don't agree with, but that's how I feel like the philosophy is with him. And it's the same thing with the White Sox, the way you look at them too. They're not willing to take on bad contracts either or waste money and sign guys. And they're not willing to spend money at all. And even at this point, like with their rebuild, they're not ready to contend. And the only person they were willing to sign is Manny Machado. And he didn't come here because they dicked around and didn't offer him all the money in the world like they should have. So it's the same thing with the Bulls, I feel like. It's like, unless the Bulls are in a championship type of window, Jerry Reinsdorf is very, very hesitant to spend money.
Yeah, 100%. He's always had that reputation, and I think he always will. And to a certain degree, I understand, you know, why pay hand over fist to a team that's not realistically trying to compete. And that's why it's all about, to me, the fast forward button to 2021. And I know you and I both have our concerns about this team finally getting it done. And we were talking earlier about, you know, who's doing the recruiting? How do the Bulls finally get over this losing streak of landing the biggest free agents that they're seeking on the market? And if and when that day comes, when the Bulls have this opportunity in front of them to say, we're going to sign this guy, and this guy wants to play with this guy. We're going to make a big swing. We're going to get it done. Jerry better fucking open the checkbook. Because if the team has an opportunity to be competitive again, and not just, hey, we made the playoffs, we get some home playoff games, that's cool, but real, real competition at the highest level, gearing towards championship contention, open the fucking checkbook.
I think we've positioned ourselves well to head down this road.
Wherever that road's going to lead us, we'll find out, I guess.
We shall find out.
That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks for everybody who's dropped us texts and voicemails over the last few days. Continue to do that over the weekend as well. 331-979-1369. You can always hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bulls. That's Apple Podcasts, that's Google Podcasts, that's Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcast, we are sure to be there. So make sure you're subscribed so you get our episodes as soon as they drop. For Matt Peckham, Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
you know, we got Bulls across our chest.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.